Hi everyone, and welcome to Inside the Caravan. I'm Andrew He Him, and this episode is about Domain's horror RPG by Auto Alia Publishing. Some of my own cards on the table, myself and Philip of Auto Alia Publishing have previously tried to get some movement on making horror gaming less misogynist, ableist, and racist. I know personally I am aiming to push more for that and to embrace without thieving the way other cultures have some great horror material. So, with that little preface, on to Domain's Horror RPG. So, what is Domain's Horror RPG? In its guts, it's a moderately crunchy, combative horror game. Yes, it wants to tell horror stories, but unlike maybe other horror games, this one wants to lean harder into ideas like Zombie Apocalypse and Constantine. It has a big dose of survival horror in its DNA. You are going to be dumped somewhere, and around you will be a lot of things that want you dead, one way or the other. You need to get out alive. How does it play? Now, to explain, if you've not listened to an episode before, I'm not doing actual plays or playtests with these, but reading through it and forming an opinion. So there are limitations on how does it play, which you may have misgivings about. I'm planning from this read-through and podcast to give you an idea if it's worth your time. The dice engine is a D10 die pool roll low system, a bit like percentile systems. You have five traits, five aptitudes. Survival, hello, remember that survival horror streak? Awareness, jump scares ahead. Larceny, knowledge, and social. You're going to use these up as part of character generation. And then when you want to do something, you'll get a handful of D10s and roll under your aptitude. Simple, right? Well, your aptitudes are also capped at 7. So on 8, 9, or 10, you'll get complications rather than hard successes. Have fun with that. Which aptitude gets you there? Whichever you can explain works. So that's nice, we aren't playing with a restrictive skill set, but also the aptitudes are pretty strongly themed, so it's clear how you're meant to use the tools in your toolkit. You can also add traits, which are a bit like feats in other games. They are special tricks for your aptitudes. When you gain enough traits, you upgrade your aptitude as well. More traits leads to more aptitude. There is also more leaning into the survivalism in here as well. There are specific rules for not getting enough to eat, drink, and sleep. Then we get to ways you can die. You can die physically, you can die mentally, you can die spiritually, and in comes that Constantine sort of jack here. The complexity kicks in around here because on top of the three death tracks, you've got different ways to fill in the track, and you can gain status effects on top of that. If you love some crunchy, fiddly RPG tracking stuff, then this has that feel. Leans hard into that. We've got exactly 3 arrows left, 2 sandwiches, and I see 5 zombies sort of feeling. If you're after something low management, beer and pretzels, there'd be zombies kind of TTRPG experience, then you should be looking somewhere else. And when all of that gritty realist type stuff is said and done, you can also grind your way into becoming a monster as you tick off spaces in your morality track. Now, if you're this far with me and thinking, nah, I'm done, too many fiddly bits, too many ways to die, and morality death, I can understand. But for those that hiking boots on gravel driveway crunch, then this is gonna feel nice. What's in the play loop? If you're looking for the GM role, and this game has an explicit GM as part of it, named the Overseer, you'll get 150 A5 pages into the roughly 200 A5 total. Like a lot of indie games, this is coming out an A5, so roughly 6x9 size. Comic book size is the other size I've heard it called. Now, I admit, I am sometimes not reading stuff with an eye like an editor. Much more often I'm grabbing these PDFs and kind of blasting through sections like I was reading a copy on a shelf at a convention or a local game store. So I was a little surprised when I had some issues finding the advancement loop. It took a few goes backwards and forwards, but I found it. There are a mix of attendance points, character growth, player growth, and GM freebies for the experience point system. You allocate experience to your aptitudes, and once you've gotten 5 points, you add a new trait. So unlike many other games, trait gain rates are linear to experience. None of that level times 1,000 XP to progress stuff. Gain 5 experience, add a trait. Check if that boosts your aptitude. There is a track for that last part on your character sheet, so you don't have to stress about this being a painful job to level up. Only catch is, you don't level up during sessions. It's always a between-session activity. Now, personally, I'd have made it an option at any suitable quiet moment in the plot, but that's a style thing, and Philip wanted the game to run this way. Oh, cool. Otherwise, the game loop seems to be get dropped into somewhere dangerous, figure out what the dangerous is, survive long enough to deal with it, or die trying. Repeat this a bit. Eventually, you stand toe-to-toe with Balzabal and an army of demons holding a meat cleaver standing on top of a sedan car with maybe your friends hiding around the back, casting a magic spell. Of course, all of you at this point are half-starved, half-injured, exhausted, tired, and ready to scream loudly and make a valiant last stand against the horrors of hell. So, what do I like about this game? It has a super strong idea of the sort of stories it wants to tell. And it's also kind of fuzzy on the details of which variation of that story. Right down in the guts, it wants to tell you a moderately simulationist survival story where the thing you're surviving is somewhere between demons and space aliens. You could easily do a story like the Predator movie in this. Or Alien, or a crew doing a Constantine story. By the design of the game, there will be an element of, are you going to become a monster in your quest not to die? Which, in the right situation with the right friends, will be good. Also, I'll be the first monster, most likely. I've played some real You Are the Weakest Link mongrels, and as much as I've played some, you know, last person to get off the ship as it sinks noble sorts. It's definitely going to scratch the crunch itch for lots of players, detailed equipment lists, trait lists that expand and give your aptitudes more tricks to do, 4 tracks to death with 3 ways to count for hurts on each track. If that's the sort of crunchy you like, then this will be it. It doesn't lean into the kind of crunch that min-max players will love. The nature of that D10 die pool with a 30% rate makes being a min-maxer a good bit harder. From the read I have given this book, I don't see a situation where I expect if I glue this feature onto this class and that weapon with this other thing, I become a humanoid juggernaut of swirling knives that will destroy everything to appear. It's just not that kind of crunch. It's a lot more management crunch than efficiency build crunch. There is even a magic system in here that first requires you to be star-touched before you can get to the magical mojo going. It's not super complex, but seems fairly versatile. And finally, there's a chapter for the Overseer, which includes a bunch of bits and pieces. Some Session Zero material, which I kind of expected to see earlier, but it's up the back here. A number of spooky monsters, NPC building tools, some broad structure on plot building. What stuff don't I like? Ignoring some of the layout stuff, I think the book felt like it needed something with some more guts about how the system would create its stories. I know the sort of stories it wants to tell, but I feel like being given a big box of Lego and a picture of a famous building and told, go on, make that. It would be great to have a good load more guidance about the sorts of worlds and scenery this game is meant to create. I'm sure if you're well viewed in the genre, this sort of thing wouldn't be as hard, but without maybe some more survival horror reference points behind you, running this game could be a struggle. So, to wrap up, does this game hit its target? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that for those who want survivalist horror gaming with a sort of angels and demons or Cthulhu monster plot dropped over the top, this will very much hit the right spot. Will everyone like this game? This game is very much not the reward with the friends and queer lovers we made along the way sort of game. The level of gear crunch and resource tracking will endear it to many, but I suspect the way the game lacks an efficiency optimizing trait will keep away some of your more min-maxy power game crunch players. Is it a good game? Yeah, I think it is. I want to make changes to how the book is set up, but that's me being a fuss about book layouts and game book structures because I have opinions. Would I play it? Yeah, probably with the right people. It probably wouldn't be a convention-type game for me unless we really went for a whole 4,000 zombies at the front door type scenario with, like, a short, clear objective. And that's kind of it. If you want to find my own games, you can find them at halflingcaravangames.itch.io, where you could get a Betamax cartridge or one of my far less refined and far more janky bits of nonsense like Assault Heaven, Overthrow God, or Hands of Fate. Have fun gaming, and you know all that, subscribe and pass links of this to your friends stuff. The algorithm needs its blood, it's people.